die, Father, is nothing left. Ever since I was a child, I had the feeling that something is missing in me. I want to know why I am here. Can any of us know that?
Become yourself. Name God, and the devil don't matter.
I want to learn. I want to understand. Be careful. Can you find the force to enable these two quite opposite lives to live together in yourself? At any moment, the wolf can devour the lamb.
And you must learn what it means to become responsible.
This is an exact right. And that is why you are here.
Out of the foreknown history to the unknown future, this is Red Ice Radio for the seeker.
I must try to know.
Well, welcome back, Dean Clifford. Always good talking with you. Thank you for coming on. I know how busy you are and how much you have going on, so we do appreciate it. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Man, it's weird hearing people say my last name. I don't hear that very often.
Oh, really? Just Dean, huh?
Yep. Yeah.
Dean of the Clifford family or clan or whatever you want to call it. Hey, listen, take us through whatever you've been through now in the last, what is it, months, 2 months? You've been on quite a story. We've been trying to follow it on the website, and I know there's a lot of tangents to it. And for those who, you know, haven't, I assume some of our listeners have listened to our first program, so they know a little bit about you, Dean. But go back a little bit and tell us when this whole arrest thing started, how it unfolded, and what consequently has happened, Dean.
Yeah, well, a lot of people think that these are usually terrible things that happen when you wind up being in jail for a little while. But if anything, all this did was it proved that everything I've been saying about law is exactly correct. I was, I guess it would be February 2nd. I was had left my house to go drive up to the local grocery store about 15 minutes away in a little town called Gimli. And as I was getting out of my truck in the parking lot, I was had a patrol car for the Royal Canadian Mounted Police pull up behind me. And long story short, a very belligerent individual named Constable Drain, who got out of his car and started demanding things from me and was ordering me around and was ordering me to go stand by my truck and just a bunch of nonsense. And I just kind of waved him away and told him to get away from me. I don't want to talk to you. And so he got out of his car and he started to kind of chase me down a little bit as I was walking into the grocery store. And I kept asking him what he wanted, and he wouldn't tell me what he wanted. He just kept telling me that he wanted to see some ID and driver's license registration kind of thing. And he started chirping about the Highway Traffic Act and all that kind of nonsense. And I said, look, I said, I'm not contracting with you through statutes. I want nothing to do with whatever you're talking about. If you have a claim against me, make it. Otherwise, leave me alone, get away. And I wasn't being too nice about it. I was kind of being about as belligerent back to him as he was being to me, but I felt no particular need to be really nice to the guy. So I told him to go away, and I I turned, I said, I'm going to the grocery store. I said, leave me alone. I'm leaving. Bye. I turned around to walk away, and he went to grab me and tried to place me under arrest for failing to identify myself for absolutely no reason. So that led to a resisting of a false arrest. So a small tussle ensued where I defended myself from being thrown down to the ground in his attempts to arrest me, to the point where I think he actually punched me once in the face, and I didn't return any punches. I just kept holding him, and there was many witnesses from the grocery store that ended up coming out in the parking lot, seeing this struggle going on out in the parking lot there and wondering what was going on. So there's a bit of a crowd started gathering. It lasted several minutes, and it was right on his dash cam recorder there, and at the end of it, I ended up just kind of, I had the guy, I'd grabbed him by the front of his jacket, and I was just holding him there, and I wouldn't let him go. And he was screaming for me to let him go, and he was getting really upset. And every time I let him go, though, he just kept trying to attack me again. And I placed him under arrest, actually, for assault and breach of the peace. And so I finally let him go, and I was yelling at him. I was telling him to calm down, because he was screaming like an idiot. And I finally yelled at him. I said, "Sir, you're supposed to be a peace officer." I said, "Why am I trying to calm you down?" I said, "Now stop it, and I'm going to let you go. And you're going to quit hitting me. Do you understand?" And he just kind of, so I threw him away from me a little bit and whatever. He went pacing around back to his car and wasn't too happy about what just went down or what, I guess. But it didn't take long for three more cars to show up and a whole lot more RCMP. And they just kind of surrounded me. And I told them if they wanted to talk respectfully to me that it didn't have to get physical like it did with the last guy. And so they had a little polite conversation with me for the next 10 minutes where they were just regurgitating the same puke, the same, "Oh, the Highway Traffic Act. Oh, driver's license. Oh, you need this. Oh, you need that." And I held my ground the same way I did in the other video that's been released there from my 2-hour discussion with the RCMP out in British Columbia from earlier this summer, last summer, I should say. And they don't know anything. Like they're pretty pathetic. They're like broken records. It doesn't matter what you say or what law you quote or what case law you cite or anything or claim your rights. They just keep repeating the same nonsense over and over again. It's not even worth speaking to them. But I had told them that I had placed the other individual under a citizen's arrest, and they told me I have no authority to do that. And I started laughing, and then they then proceeded to tell me that they own the roads. So apparently the RCMP in Canada, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, believe that they own the roads. And I had another instance. This was a Constable Street, a young woman. She's probably about 5 foot two, I guess, this little woman. Of course, they send them over to speak to you, right? So that they send the smallest little woman over to speak to you because that way if they feel threatened, they're justified in jumping you and beating you. But,
right, yeah.
And so she was the one that informed me that the RCMP own the roads, and I must do what they tell me to in order to use those roads.
Hmm.
And she also tapped her chest and told me that she is the law. So I've told people stories of this stuff happening before. People don't actually believe me that cops really resort to saying such utter stupidity and nonsense. They do. There was witnesses this time. It was on camera. It was all recorded, which they're trying to not give me now, by the way. But anyways, So that led to me, they wanted to arrest me. Well, they did. They said, "Well, look, we have to take you down because you obviously there's been a breach of the peace, and this guy here has placed you under arrest for assaulting a peace officer." I started laughing. I said, "Well, I've arrested him." I said, "Well, why isn't somebody putting him in handcuffs?" And they refused to. So they tried to handcuff me behind my back, and I told them that wasn't going to happen. There was going to be another struggle, and several of us would be going to the hospital if that was the case. Otherwise, they could handcuff me to the front. They tried to tell me it's not a negotiation, and I said, like hell it isn't. I said, that's my final offer. You can handcuff me to the front, or there's going to be another tussle. So they handcuffed me to the front of my to the front like I asked them to. We went down to the station. I wound up being charged initially with assaulting a peace officer, and
Dean, let me ask you before we carry on. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask if there was a, this is just what I heard, that there was some kind of accident that kind of started all this, that the guy, you know, Constable Drain, right? He'd actually been following you for that reason, or something happened on the parking lot. Is that correct?
No, yeah. What had happened was there was a lumber store, Rona, right in the same parking lot as the Sobeys, the grocery store. And I'd just been in the Rona to pick up a couple of construction items and stuff I needed for home, and was going through the parking lot connecting to the Sobeys and was coming around a corner. And I don't know how many people have ever been to Canada in the winter, but it's nothing but ice up here.
Yeah.
For about 6 months of the year. In fact, we still have all our snow. We haven't even hit the pluses yet, hardly. So when I was coming around the corner, because I drive a big truck, the ass end of the truck came sliding out a little bit, like happens pretty much every 2 minutes when you're driving around the streets here in Canada. And I guess he saw that and decided that was he must have been out on the street somewhere, and he pulled into the parking lot and followed me into my parking spot. And I guess that was his justification for being very loud and belligerent with me and starting to demand to see my papers. So, which is just pure idiocy in the first place, but I guess that's what they consider probable cause nowadays when your wheels slip on ice.
So that was the reason, in other words. So if that little incident or accident, as it were, hadn't happened, he probably wouldn't even be there in the first place then, correct?
Yeah, he tried to claim I was doing donuts in the parking lot, and I started laughing. Adam, and I said, I'm not going to question your expertise when it comes to donuts, but I don't see how that's any of your business. So,
and so if we further back up, you had successfully, I don't know how to word this, but wavered the RCMP's claim that you need a driver's license and all kinds of things associated with your personal vehicle. Tell us about that briefly.
Well, there is so much case law and so much in their own acts and statutes, which I pointed out, and even just pointing to your rights alone, there's no question that you have the right to drive without a government license, without permission from anybody. I mean, and that's all I do is I quote this stuff whenever they pull me over, and again in this conversation with this young lady this time, Constable Street. I said, you keep quoting your Highway Traffic Act. Number one, I'm not bound by that. I'm a non-resident. I'm non-government. I am a non-government entity. I said, and number two, in your own act, it clearly states that non-residents only have to abide by the laws of the jurisdiction they come from. I said, and in my jurisdiction, which is common law or law of the land, there is no such thing as a driver's license. I said, and that's in your statute. Well, that's not what that means. Oh, that's not what that means, eh? Like, again, there's no point in even talking to them. It's they're just going to do what they think they have the right to do. And that might have changed, by the way, that when we get to the end of the story here, the follow-up to everything. I think they're starting to get edumacated finally on the matter.
Well, this is interesting. I've heard that too. Lana had a lawyer on, Mike Siebert, talking about this too, that a lot of the both police, but also other lawyers and attorneys, are kind of getting smarter to the, you know, the straw man kind of concept and everything, and that you can't, you know, come with this anymore than trying to counteract this with other legalese and wording and what have you. So maybe there's something like that going on. Who knows?
Well, yeah, well, because they're starting to get a little bit of trouble is the problem. So they're. That's the first thing that tyrants always do when they're trying to seize power, is that when people wake up and they start to fight back too much, is they'll start to backtrack a little bit and kind of go away for a few years and let everybody calm down before they just come right back to what they were doing before, right?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't take it as a sign that they're starting to become honorable. The problem is they're scared that of the liability attached to harming us, and we're starting to figure out our rights. And we don't believe in their courts or their laws or even their organizations or institutions anymore at all. So they're scared of us leaving altogether. So they're probably going to try backing off here in the next little while. But
in regard, would you say, Dean, that there seems to be some constables that you actually can reason with and talk with about these things? Going back to the first example you had last summer, was it you successfully managed to get them to leave you alone without showing the license, correct? That's what happened there.
Oh, I don't have a license. You cannot compel me to do the impossible. I cannot produce something I do not have, nor do I am I obligated to have. Now, last summer, they did the British Columbia RCMP. They did tow my truck, and that was a Constable Dave Williams and a friend of his, and that's something else I'm still following up on, because I'm going after them for civil damages, and I'm taking many, many criminal charges into the courts out in BC. And if they're not going to hear them, then I'm going to hold my own court. But they know what they were doing was illegal, because they didn't both times now that they've taken my trucks, they've never issued notices of seizure. They won't issue a notice of seizure. And not only that, the British Columbia RCMP are trying to literally almost cover up the fact that they even took the truck. There's no paperwork at the tow company that still has the truck. They won't tell me why the truck is even there. They just want me to pay the fees. So now, unfortunately, I've had to include them in the lawsuit and criminal charges, because if they can't explain why they have my truck, then that's theft.
Sure.
That's why they're supposed to issue a notice of seizure. That's your remedy. But they're not doing that, because without one of their license plates on the property, they have no authority to seize it, which means they cannot issue a notice of seizure, which they're required by law to do.
And you don't have a license as well on the car. License
no,
number
not,
plate, I mean. Yeah.
Nope. Not required to have one.
Mm.
So what they do is they just hold it. They just have a tow truck company who doesn't know any better come and take it and tell the tow truck company, don't give it back to this guy until he gets a license plate and shows up with a driver's license. Well, who the hell is a tow truck company to tell me I can't have my truck back?
Sure.
Unless it's got a license plate on it and I've got ID. What, are they cops now? They got no jurisdiction to do that, and they'll usually say, "Oh well, I'll get in trouble from the police if I don't check that stuff." I said, "Dude, you're in trouble with me. Forget the police. You're gonna have to answer to me."
Yeah, exactly. The police are expecting them to do this their job effectively now. That's great. Thanks.
Yeah, you know? Apparently.
Yeah.
So, and in fact, the truck, my diesel truck that they've got out in British Columbia, they've had since last summer now. I believe it's at its second or its third tow truck company now, because every time I get into it with that tow truck company and I tell them that, well, look, I need some documentation. I need something in writing from you that says the RCMP had you tow that truck to your impound and that you have the authority to charge me fees and tell me that I must get a license plate and a driver's license. And within a matter of weeks, all of a sudden the truck will be at a new tow truck company. The RCMP will come and get it. Apparently the RCMP have no problems getting my truck from an impound and moving it to another one. I can't go get my own truck, but they can go steal my truck. So I don't know, maybe they bought it. Maybe they got a bill of sale. Maybe they're the ones that paid all the money for the truck, because they seem to have no problem going and taking my truck and putting it anywhere that they want to. So,
Or they just tell the tow company what to do, since they did that to begin with, right? They just told them, keep this or take this, and they just follow orders, you know?
That's the whole problem. The tow truck companies just listen to these fools, thinking they're going to be protected, and those are the people we need to start hammering. And you know what? If you have to worry about lawsuits as a result of doing work for the RCMP as a private contractor, then don't work for them anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
So, but they sure don't want to return my phone calls anymore after they get their first letter from me, and then my truck ends up being moved somewhere else. And I just laugh about it. I don't care. I've already bought another truck. I drive another diesel around right now. The one they took 2 months ago was an old Chevy I bought just to go beating around in. Some of my friends are laughing at me. They're calling me Bob Barker from The Price is Right at the rate I'm giving away vehicles. But they're all sitting collecting rent right now is what I call it. They're all getting their fees. We are collecting on all our liens and stuff like that against the government. This stuff is all finally starting to have an impact on these people, and we're learning more and more all the time, and they are starting to get very nervous.
How many trucks in total have been stolen from you so far?
Three. That'll be three in total now.
Mm.
Yeah. No big deal. They're nicer. Unfortunately, two of them are really nice trucks. I figure I've lost $50,000 of trucks right now that I've paid for cash.
Yeah.
So, but big deal. I'll get that all back and some. I'm really not worried about it. And in the meantime, I just go buy another truck.
Well, this is what they do. And the sooner people realize this, the better. So, let's get back to your arrest and what happened consequently in jail, prison there.
Okay, well, yeah, they about an hour after they arrested me, they brought me in front of a justice of the peace, and he wouldn't show me a charge, and they basically already had everything all settled before I was even brought in the room. I'm not even sure why they brought me in the room. They brought me in the room, I guess, just to give me notice that I've been charged with assaulting a peace officer. I said, well, good, where's the charge? Well, I don't have to show that to you. I said, well, yeah, you do. Where's the charging instrument? well, I'm not getting, I'm not, you know, they start getting mad at you and telling you they're not showing you anything and they're not speaking to you. And I said, well, hang on a sec here. I said, I place this guy under arrest. I got a bunch of charges I want to swear out against him right now. I'm not here to listen to your shit. And I'm like, well, I'm the one that asked for a justice of the peace. Are you not a justice of the peace? Why won't you hear my complaint? I thought we're all supposed to be equal before the law. I'm not here to listen to this. I'm leaving. And he gets up and he leaves. And then the cops are screaming and yelling at you to get back to your cell and being ignorant pricks. So I was just, okay, whatever, go back to the cell. And an hour later, they took me into Winnipeg, because this is about an hour away from Winnipeg here, the major center, and spent the next 26 days in jail, 16 of which wound up being in solitary confinement, maximum security up on the highest, the eighth floor of the building up here. So that's actually, while I was up there, there's a serial murderer in Canada right now who was just arrested. And right after that, another guy that was up on doing a shooting at a restaurant. And those were some of the people that were up on my floor.
Yeah, right. You're on par with these guys.
Apparently I'm on par with these guys. But they didn't like the fact that, A, I was teaching the people on the fourth floor where I was their rights. They didn't like that. And second of all, I think after my second hearing there in front of one of the judges where I kind of got into it with him quite a bit, and I was getting pretty belligerent and right nasty with the guy. It was the day after that or 2 days after that they moved me up to the to maximum security. But I told him, I said, go ahead, throw me back in jail. I don't care. There's a lot of people in there that want to learn their rights and how to fire their lawyers. So it's pretty clear that's why they moved me. But either way, the most amazing part of that is that they actually put it in writing. And the unit manager signed the document stating that I had been transferred to maximum security due to my political beliefs.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. I laughed pretty hard at that. I was like, wow, and you're actually signing that?
Do you have that paper?
I asked for a copy of it. They said that I can't have one, obviously, because where would I put it while I'm in prison? But I can get one anytime I want to afterwards, because I was assured that it was a permanent government record on my file down at the jail.
Hmm.
So right. I thought that was pretty hilarious. So
that's,
I spent the
kind of funny
6 days there. Yeah.
Wow.
And by the end of it, without getting into any detail about what I did in court, people can learn about that. They can go to the site and start learning their rights.
Which site, Dean? I think last time we were kind of figuring out which one. Which is it?
DeanClifford.info. And we've got a forum going now. And actually, I've been very... a neglect with the site over the last 2 months, because the first month I spent in jail and the next month I spent trying to get my everything back on track here. So I was
sure.
I'm very home, but we're starting to get that up and going again here now. And if anything, like I say, by the end of it, they had me up on a total of 11 charges by the end. And more were coming, apparently. Every other day they showed up at the jail with more charges. I think they were trying to scare me. I don't know, but I kept laughing about it. I was like, good, bring more. That's just more damages for me. Excellent. Keep making false claims about me. I think that's hilarious. At one point, they came to try to get fingerprints from me while I was up on the eighth floor there. And the guard came to get me, and he's like, oh, do you want to go get fingerprints? And I'm like, clearly not. And they were laughing, because by this time, they're all going to my website and starting to look starting to watch my videos.
Hmm.
He's like, yeah, that's kind of what I thought. I'll tell him you're not really interested. And I said, yeah, thank you. And so when he comes back 15 minutes later, he goes, oh, by the way, they told me to tell you you're being charged with failure to appear for fingerprinting for refusing. I started laughing. I said, whatever, let me know when the charge shows up. And so he was laughing, too, because these people are even starting to think the cops are a bunch of douchebags. So officially, they don't comment, but they just kind of give you that look like they're just like, ugh. They realize what a bunch of losers these guys are. So... 11 charges, and by day 26, the Crown had decided at that point, the Crown prosecution, that they were going to inform the courts that they were staying prosecution on every charge.
What does that mean? Explain that.
Everything was stopped. They will not be proceeding with prosecution against me, and I was released probably maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours later.
So they just dropped everything right there.
They don't drop everything. See, what staying means is that the charge stays on the books, but they're just not going to prosecute anymore. And the problem with that is because if people want to learn all about this kind of stuff, a lot of the stuff we're going to be teaching people in the future, it's you got to remember, I kind of claimed the charges. I put a lien on them while I was in jail. And I informed the courts that I was owed the money from the charges by way of damages. And I leaned the court file on the charges while I were in there. They couldn't have been withdrawn. The Crown cannot withdraw those charges. And even if they could, that's pretty much a confession. That's an admission that they knew that the charges, knew or ought to have known the charges were fraudulent or false. Because they're supposed to be, before they even bring a charge to court, they're supposed to have done their due diligence to make sure that it is a legitimate charge. And now they're staying prosecution on all 11 of them that they used as an excuse to just hold me in prison for the last 26 days. So they're looking really stupid, first of all. And because they're not prosecuting, they've pretty much admitted that I don't require a driver's license. I don't require insurance. I don't require a license plate. I don't require any of their puke. And I certainly have the right to defend myself from an unlawful arrest because they stayed proceedings against the assaulting a peace officer as well for me throwing that guy around the parking lot. So they tried to tell the court at the final hearing. There was supposed to be a hearing on the 28th at 2 p.m. It was a case management hearing where they were trying to move ahead to trial already. They tried to move to trial, by the way, on my third day in jail, my second court appearance. They tried to move to trial. If you can believe that. I got some theories and reasons as to why that is, but I won't get into that right now. But needless to say that there was already a case management hearing at 2 p.m. on February 28th. And because of some paperwork that we had done and because of some other things that were going on, that hearing ended up getting moved up to 1 p.m. The Crown prosecution informed the courts they were staying proceedings. And the judge was a little shocked by that. And I was outside having a beer at a pub down the street by 3 p.m. And it's done. The matter's over. Now there's no more hearings. There's no more charges. Well, there is charges, but I own them. They're due to me now, and I'm going back to collect on those as well as all the human rights abuses and everything else and the charges that I've got against these guys. So now it's entirely me. Now it's going to be me going after them.
They have not followed up on this. They don't gonna contact you, approach you for further about these matters and such. You're off the hook.
I'm more than off the hook. There is no more hearings. It is done.
Now it's day 26. You get released, and up to that point, did you get a chance to represent yourself in court? Did you have a lawyer? What happened with all that stuff?
God, no. I would never get a lawyer. That's an exercise in futility and madness.
Right.
But, I definitely spoke for myself at every hearing, and you got to make sure you do. And I just utilized exactly the same knowledge and arguments and techniques that I talk about on every radio show that I ever do, and clearly I won. And the big thing I want to point out to people is that is what we also have to understand here is that right now in Canada – I'm not too sure of who has a bigger target on their backs up here in Canada when it comes to vocal people about freedom. So this was a really big deal for them to have me in jail and try to diminish or prove the Freeman movement wrong.
Yeah,
you got one of them in jail right now, no license, no insurance, no registration, nothing, and he attacked a police officer. This guy's gone for a long time just to prove that we are wrong, right?
Right, yep. Make an example out of somebody, basically.
An example out of somebody. But after 26 days, they had to let me go and stay all prosecution, all proceedings against me. Is that not pretty much an admission that I am correct?
Well, it's very confusing. Do you think that there was something, how you handled yourself at these hearings, or what was the reason for this, if we go back a little bit more?
Well, there's a couple of things that I know precisely why that happened. There was a couple of guys on our little team that we have going wanted to try. A habeas corpus was filed in a court of equity in Chancery that was heard the same day in the morning. But the matter actually never got heard because the individual that filed the paperwork couldn't make it back to Winnipeg in time for the scheduled hearing time. So the matter got struck down. I had filed my own handwritten habeas corpus right from jail into criminal court. And actually, interesting, there's some real weird stuff that went down this day. There was two hearings on The morning of the 28th, which is the day that I got out because of the afternoon hearing, there was two hearings in the morning, both at 10 a.m. in two different courtrooms, two different crown attorneys, two different judges, and I was in one of them. And they were both hearings with regards to me. And then there was supposed to be the 2 p.m. hearing in the afternoon that they moved up to 1 o'clock, and that's the one where I was out having a beer by 3 p.m. So it turns out that the wheels of justice move rather quickly when they start getting a little nervous about who they've got in jail. And that's because of some of the actions we are starting to get going and sending into the government, and it has to do with the trust law stuff that I always talk about. So it got the desired effect. There's no question about that. But either way, I'm trying to think of exactly how bad things had to get for them and how nervous they had to be before they finally had to stay proceedings on every charge against me and let me go, knowing that that was going to be on Facebook within 5 minutes of me being released. And it was. So it justifies absolutely everything I always tell people about. And by the way, I was offered bail and I refused.
Mm-hmm.
Getting bail, making bail does not really affect your standing or your case. But I always tell people that I'll be damned if I ever make application for bail ever. And I stood by that. And again, I spent time in jail. Last time it was 19 days, refused to make bail, but I won in the end. And this time again, and this time was a much bigger victory. But they really shot themselves in the foot this time, as far as I'm concerned, by making a big deal of it. And going so far as to throw me in maximum security solitary confinement for 16 days just to try to, I don't know what they were trying to do. Maybe scare me. I really don't know.
How was that experience? What were the conditions? Did you get fed every day, etc.?
In fact, I refused to eat the prison food. I told them I was on a diet that I only eat fresh fruit and raw vegetables, and so they wouldn't bring me any of that. So I didn't eat for the first 8.5 days. I lost 17 pounds.
Oh boy!
Thought I was doing a hunger strike, and I said, "No, I'm not doing a hunger strike. I already told you I only eat fruits and vegetables. What part of that don't you understand?" I said, "I'm not eating that puke you guys bring me that somebody probably spit in." I said, "You bring me bananas because they've got a peel on it. And when I take that peel off, I know I'm getting something that's uncontaminated. Until then, I'm not eating." So right away, fruit started to show up at the cell, and they put me on a vegan diet, and I got my own little tray and stuff like that. And it was pretty good after that. So, even then, you win when they have to start catering to you the way that you want in jail. They're even losing there. They thought they got me beat because they got me in solitary confinement. Come on, it's just ridiculous. Not only that, I think it woke a lot of their corrections officers up to the corruption in the system, because they all realized I shouldn't be there. I told the one guy that he should be ashamed of himself for I'm just obeying orders. Yeah, the orders to throw a guy on traffic charges up into solitary confinement for his political beliefs. Yeah. And they were all, when that unit manager said that it was due to my political beliefs. And I was kind of looking around, and I'm like, wow, have you guys even ever read the Declaration of Human Rights, where it says I can't be discriminated against for my political beliefs? And they're just kind of looking around, and maybe it didn't click until then. I really don't know. But yeah, it was interesting all around. And again, nobody should ever fear going to jail for a couple of weeks. I mean, yeah, it kind of messes with your personal life, and maybe some people would not have a job when they get back out and whatnot, but that's what they rely on. That's the fear that they are. I don't want people knowing I went to jail, or how embarrassing in front of my family, or I might lose my job, or what's my wife going to do without a paycheck, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it sucks. But you know what? Compared to what other people have gone through in history for fighting for their rights and their freedoms.
Oh, geez. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Seeing the football game on Sunday is not very high on the factor list.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's if that's all I have to do, I mean, I would think that my ancestors would be ashamed of me if that's all I had to do, is spend a couple weeks in jail to raise awareness of what's going on and wake up some corrections guys and some sheriffs and we did raise a lot of awareness, by the way. Even the sheriffs at the local courthouse there where this was all being heard, they all got busted. They were overheard by people talking about the fact that at first mocking it. That they go to my website daily for updates on what's going on with me. So they're reading this stuff now too. And so not only that, so now you got sheriffs and corrections officers that work within the system that are going and watching these videos and then saying to themselves, yeah, these guys have something. Like there's something to what they're saying. They're right. And prison staff got heard saying that, by the way. One of the guys that came to visit me was waiting, and they didn't know who he was, I guess, and he was waiting for his turn to go and see me. And a couple of them were talking behind the counter, and they mentioned that Dean Clifford guy. And then the one guy or lady, I can't remember who it was like, yeah, I've watched some of the videos, and a couple of us around here talk about that. And apparently these guys are right. Like apparently a lot of the stuff they're saying is true, and there's actual case law and real laws backing what they're saying. So it is getting around, it's spreading, and it's getting through to everybody. But the best part is too, is that when you're in a courtroom full of sheriffs, and they know who you are, and they witness the Crown prosecution staying proceedings against you on all charges, does that not make them think what's going on here?
It should. And it should.
And the Crown prosecution tried to make an excuse saying, oh, well, and the reason that we're staying proceedings, Your Honor, is that upon further review, we've determined that all the evidence against Mr. Clifford is purely circumstantial. And right away I said, well, no, I was like, no, it's not. I said, it's a fact. I have no license. No license plate, no insurance, and I did throw that guy around the parking lot. That's all fact. Nothing circumstantial. Well, they don't want to hear that because that was the only excuse they had. And not only that, are you not supposed to review the evidence and decide if it's circumstantial or not before you file all these charges into a criminal court and hold somebody in jail for 26 days?
Well, apparently not. This is the problem with the system, right? It seems to be, depending on who you get dealing with it, Dean, you get different results. I mean, if the system that they've set up is unlawful in its inception, it's based on having a monopoly on violence, basically, and they have, as you've stated in the past, held people against their will, in some cases for a while, in some cases indefinitely. So the question is, if this has happened to other people and this is still the case, it's interesting that it didn't happen to you, and at the same time, this is what should get the people who are part of the system to question it. They need to realize what they're part of, whom and what system they're representing, basically.
Yeah, well, I think a lot more of them are going to be questioning it now, because as I was being taken out of the courtroom, too, after this transpired and I was now being released, I was kind of chuckling, and one of the sheriffs said to me, or just offhand, he goes, you don't see that every day. I started laughing, and I said, why is it every time you guys drag one of us free men into the courtroom, you always see something that you don't see every day? Like, gee, I don't know. How about the Crown staying proceedings on every charge against me and having to release me? Is that a little bit unusual? Are you guys not starting to accept the fact that maybe we're right about what we're talking about? And they're like, oh, we don't get involved in this stuff. We're neutral. I said, I wasn't asking you to get involved. It was just a blunt statement. Like, do you not think that maybe, what we're saying maybe has some merit, considering the fact that we keep winning? Well, we don't get involved. We don't get involved. I said, I'm not asking you to get involved. I'm asking you to think. So, but I'll tell you, they sure are a lot nicer now than they were a couple of years ago. I think the last few times I spent in the basement of the courthouse waiting to go to jail for some charges in previous years, man, like we got mocked and ridiculed and physically threatened. I had sheriffs tell me they were going to drag me out back and kick the shit out of me. I had some say that if I didn't give my fingerprints willingly, they would take them from my broken fingers. They don't say that kind of stuff anymore at all. You are treated with complete respect now.
Did you recognize some of the same people there from previous times you've been there?
Absolutely. Whether or not they recognize me, I don't know. One guy in particular that was really mouthy to me last time was more than polite and cordial with me this time. So whether he recognized me or not, I don't know. My hair is an awful lot longer now than it was then. And I had a beard this time when I didn't before, but I think they would recognize the name before they recognize anything, obviously. So,
sure. Huh. Interesting. So what do you make of all of it?
Well, the times are a-changing. Like I say, I think the cops are starting to wake up and realize that they're actually liable for what they're doing. When one of their little crown rats counsels them at the side of the road or wherever and tells them, yeah, you can go ahead and arrest this guy, or yeah, you can go ahead and take his truck, or yeah, go ahead and do this. Do whatever you want to this guy. And they're following that advice. Do you think that that crown rat is liable?
No.
No, those attorneys aren't liable. The idiot that believes he has the right to beat somebody because a crown attorney told him that he can do it, that guy's liable. And they're starting to figure that all out now. That was one of the other conversations we've been hearing a lot around lately, is that they're starting to talk amongst themselves. And they're starting to realize that they're the ones that are going to get charged. They're the ones that are going to get sued. They're basically being used by these attorneys, by these rats, these bar association member cockroaches, the scumbags. They're being used by that branch of society, if you want to call it that, the bar society, to harm us for the benefit of the lawyers. But then those cops are the ones that are put in the front line and are liable for all the damages being caused. So that should be of great concern for them. And I think they are starting to realize now that we are getting much better with our processes. We are getting much better at filing charges. We are getting much better at our lawsuits and our ability to put liens on that cannot be removed, to the point where they're getting a little scared now. And they should.
Has any of these previous cases and whatever has been going on, has that led to something like this? Have there been, constables being put out of job or something like that? Or someone has been like responsible, or let's say even, not that that's the main interest here, but let's say that money has been paid out for damages or what have you?
If money has been paid out, and money has been paid out to people, they're usually forced to sign a non-disclosure agreement so that they can't talk about it.
Okay.
They can say that they got a payout, but they can't discuss the details or how much they've got. There's been people like that around for years now. A lot of these other things out there, I think for a couple of years, it was quite popular for people to file multi-billion dollar liens against people. Those are uncollectible. Those will never be collected. But yeah, there is a lot of, we've actually found out quite recently that it turns out the liens that we were filing a couple of years ago against people, and actually they were effectively done, but we weren't seeing much results because all the results were taking place behind the scenes. We found out that actually they did do some really big damage to their bonding and to the police behind the scenes, not the individual officers, but the organization itself. But they'll do everything in their power to hide the fact that what you're doing is having some effect, because they want you to question whether or not you're even accomplishing anything, and maybe just drop it. And if we do figure out that we are having an effect, more of us are going to do it.
What would you recommend to people, potentially ending up in a similar situation, like you getting arrested or they're dragged into something against their will, what have you? Any pointers in that situation? What you basically did is you went on overdrive the opposite direction, it seems like. I mean, they were expecting you to, I guess, back down and agree or try to argue that, yeah, please drop these charges, etc. But you said, no, they're real, kind of give me your best shot kind of thing, right? That's your attitude in this case.
Absolutely. I want them to see a wall that they're not going to take down. I want them to be intimidated by me, not the other way around. And they should be. I am uncompromising, period. When you trespass in my jurisdiction, I don't release you until the damage has been paid. We got to flip this all around on them. The same way they kidnap us and they never stop harassing us. That's what we got to start doing back to them. They need to know that when they trespass on us, they're the ones that are going to be harassed and harmed legally until we get our remedy. And we're not going to stop, because that's the only thing that's going to make them back down now. So that's simple. The recommendation I have for people is, number one, don't do any of this until you've even got at least minimum, a basic understanding of your rights and what's going on in the courtroom with regards to the legal person, the name, who you are, and what you can do about it, because there's nothing worse than an idle threat. Nothing worse than an idle threat. So you want to learn your rights, and don't wait. Oh, well, the chances of that happening to me tomorrow are pretty slim, so I got some years to wait on that. You don't, okay? Cancel your cable subscription or get rid of your satellite subscription. Stop watching TV. Stop watching Honey Boo Boo. And start learning your rights. Okay? Football, all that kind of stuff. It's all crap. It's meant to distract you so that you don't do that very thing. Because that's how they keep a populace, an entire people, ignorant and enslaved.
Yep. Now, in your case, Dean, do you recommend that people begin studying common law of the Commonwealth, where did you begin?
Oh well, man, my road was all over the place because none of this stuff was around 15 years ago. So we've been everywhere with this stuff. But that's the advantage of number one. If people want to go to the website and start there, where we're going to start having an awful lot more video logs, like vlogs. I got blogs I put up there now. They've been infrequent. They're going to be more often now. We're starting to teach people. There's a forum that we want people to join. And it's not free because we're trying to raise money right now for a project we're working on. But people can go there as a resource to start learning and where you should start learning. And I don't even like calling it common law. It's not really common law. It's actually natural law. It's natural rights.
And that supersedes any country you're in. Is that the idea?
It supersedes any country you're in. Unfortunately, that doesn't hold true because some countries are just, for instance, say, they just have authoritarian governments that don't recognize the rights of man. Right? Like, you don't want to go down to Colombia and start screaming, I'm a man, I can do whatever, you can't tell me what to do, because, common sense should prevail there, that they'll probably just blow your head off.
Well, exactly. At the end of the day, they have the Kalashnikovs, and if you don't, and they have the armies and the atom bombs, ultimately, so, you had to be smart about this.
I'm not scared of any of that kind of stuff. they're going to kill you, end of story. That's not a reason to not fight for your rights. I'd rather be dead. I fear being a coward. I don't fear death. So, and they have to know that as well. They got everybody fearing death right now, and you got to stop that. That's exactly what they use. I mean, if there's one thing I can assure all of your listeners right now, no matter what happens in this life, you are going to die.
That is correct.
So quit fearing it. Go out at least standing up for yourself and having principles. And doing something good on this planet that's going to benefit others instead of being a coward and trying to prolong your life as much as possible by making it by having a miserable existence. Okay? Because that's not living. Living is standing up to people like this and seeing them back down from you. That is living. I can tell you right now that for people that have had that happen, that is a breath of life. It's pretty exhilarating. To go up against odds like that and to come out winning. They've got the guns. They've got the bombs. They've got the money. They've got everything.
Yeah.
Did that help them against me? No. Because in the end, even they have to respect the higher law forms, which are natural rights.
Yeah.
They're natural, unalienable rights. They must respect them. Otherwise, there is complete anarchy. And if we're just going to have complete anarchy, great. Let me know. Because at least then I know that this is just complete anarchy, so I can arm myself appropriately, and I won't wait for court next time. Or if I'm going to be in court, it's going to be for defending myself against an unlawful arrest to the death.
What do you think, as a system, Dean, do you agree, I guess would be the right term to use, that there should be any kind of system in place, or would we be better off if there was none?
We definitely want a system in place. There's nothing wrong with systems. There's nothing wrong with knowing who another person is and how to get a hold of them, if someone's been damaged, if there's been a murder, if there's been a rape, If there's like been a hit and run in traffic or something like that, or a drunk driver hits a pedestrian and then takes off, like I think that those are legitimate reasons to want to have some order, some form of society. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's how they usually sell this stuff to you, that that's what they're going to be doing. But that's not their real intent. They sell it to you as that's what they're going to be doing, but it's always with a different purpose. And the whole problem is we keep falling for their scams. Like, we need their system of government. We need the stuff that they are providing. Instead of creating our own system and our own laws, our own governments, right? Like up here in Canada especially, we've never had a lawful government on this land. One was just created in England. And they said, here's Canada. It's got a charter coming right from England. Okay, well, that wasn't created by the people. It wasn't created for the people. It's not something that we built. It's something that somebody forced on us. And that's why they're not laws. And you guys got the same thing going on in the States there right now. Once upon a time, there was a lawful government that was created of the people, by the people, and for the people. And in almost no time, that got hijacked by private corporations, the private corporation of the United States that currently is the democratic corporate government of the United States. Again, the Constitution, the organic Constitution of the individual states created a republic. It did not create a democracy. Democracy is corporate governance. And that's why the United States is going around the world right now trying to push democracy. They're trying to push the same corporate governance on the rest of the people of the world that the United States, the people of the United States are victims of right now. It's not the government that the people created. And that's why people are always wondering, well, how come the government can just ignore the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and the Second Amendment? Oh, they're all gone now. It's because that's not the government that was created from that Constitution. So they put on a show. They make it look like they're obeying the document that created the real government so you mistake this government for the real one. Well, they're kind of following it, so it must be them. But then they pass all, you know, oh, our lawyers have deemed that that we don't have to obey the Second Amendment anymore because of this reason. Right?
Yep.
So they try to make it sound like there's some lawful excuse as to why they don't have to create the document that created them. They don't have to obey it. Are you insane? Nothing can override the rules of the power that created that entity. No more than I can just pass. I can't suddenly just grow wings and fly. Okay? Because limitations were put on me by my creator. Limitations were put on the government of the United States of America by its creator. The fact that it's disobeying any of those proves that it's not the government created by that document, or they'd be liable for that. They cannot act outside of the scope of their duties. So again, that's what they did. The same thing as up here in Canada. It's the same thing down in the United States of America. They registered all these corporations that had the same name as the lawful government. It mimicked it almost perfectly. Who do they say Satan is in the Bible? The great deceiver, one who mimics God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mimics everything he does as close as possible to the point where it's almost indistinguishable. Isn't that what they're doing?
Well, it's a very interesting concept. It's a very interesting idea, this idea that they're basically superimposed an unnatural system over something natural, that it's based basically on a lie, and that they cannot actually do anything else because they can't create anything basically. And this is something I want to continue talking more with you about, Dean, after we take a short break here. We're going to carry on. We have much more to discuss, of course. But again, before we do that, please give out the details about your website. Give us the details about how to, you know, join the forum, and if people want to get involved in learning more about this and what you guys have to offer there.
Well, it's just growing, and right now we started it before Christmas, and it grew pretty slowly, and now it's starting to pick up steam as we start to get on there and get more done. Some of the guys that are helping, Alex that built it in the first place, and a couple guys that have come on board to help develop it further now. We plan on making a massive database that people, it's going to be almost like a Facebook type utility, but for our kind of people. There's all sorts of stuff that we're going to have on there. Aside, like I say, I think we're going to start having our own podcasts, our own radio show. We're going to try getting the awareness out there. But then the big part that we plan on doing anyway, behind the scenes, is there's a lot of people out there raising awareness right now, but not many people have solutions to offer up once they tell people how bad things are right now. Hey, the world is an awful place. Oh my God, you're right. What do we do? I don't know. I'm just here to tell you it's an awful place because all this bad shit's going on. So we've got the solution, and we're working on that on our forum, and we're starting to get more people on board with helping to get the message across to people how to fix this mess. Because I think there's more than enough people out there fear-mongering. We all know how bad things are, and we need to start fixing this. And it's going to take more than just exposing these people. It's going to take building our own new system, exactly what I was saying earlier. Because when we build our own system that's designed to benefit us, that's when things are going to start to change. We're going to be able to start to fix this planet and get rid of all these corporations that are poisoning the planet and dumping Roundup all over the earth and nuclear power stations and all this other absolute crap that human beings do not need. So we're building this up, and we plan on being hopefully a forerunner with a solution to this mess right now. So, and it's just deanclifford.info. We might change some of this stuff too. It's funny. We just booked the name because we're like, oh, let's just, you know, use my name, deanclifford.info. We'll get a little forum going, that kind of thing. It's more so that way at least people can remember us. Oh, okay. It's pretty easy to remember my name, so it's easy to find my website.
Right. Very good. deanclifford.info. Check it out. We'll have the link up on redicecreations.com. We'll take a short break here, and then we're going to continue talking more with Dean Clifford about, I want to ask you more about some of these solutions, basically, and what it would entail to build a new system like this. And also, of course, how to prevent the same intentional people to just hijack that one. So we'll be right back. Stay with us. In our second hour, we open up the discussion a bit more and look at the bigger picture. The aspiration of becoming free has everything to do with personal responsibility and not letting others rule one's life. We talk about the artificial system that is mimicking the natural. Dean gives us his thoughts on the economic system, money, collectivism, and dependency. The only way of improving something is to do it yourself and lead by example instead of complaining to those responsible for the problem to fix it for you. A sobering second hour with Dean Clifford is coming up. Don't miss it. In fact, don't miss any of our previous programs. Sign up for membership at redicemembers.com and listen to any of our previous programs or future episodes. You'll get instant access to all of our archives with radio, videos, TV shows, webcasts, films, music, and commentary. More is coming up on Red Ice Radio with Chris Thomas, Kevin Barrett, Maria Wheatley, and many more. The second hour with Dean Clifford is next after the break.